The Call of Abram, Chapter 8, Genesis 12. We see a herd of cows walking slowly over a sandy plain or desert. Look, over there is a flock of sheep. A few people are walking with these cows and sheep, watching over them to see that they do not wander away. They are herdsmen and shepherds who must watch these cattle. To whom do these sheep and cows belong? Two men are walking in front, leading the way. All these animals and all the herdsmen belong to these two men who are in the front. The one man with the long beard is Abram, and the other, who is much younger, is named Lot. But what are all these people and these cattle doing in this dry and hot desert? From where do they come? Where are they going? Who is Abram? And who is Lot? With the confusion of tongues, which we told you about in the former chapter, the people were forced to separate and live apart from each other. They did not want to do this, but of necessity they must, for they could no longer understand each other. Yet some people still lived in the vicinity of Babel. There stands the Tower of Babel, far from finished. However, they could no longer work on it, because there were far too few people left to continue building it. This tower stood there as a sign that God reigns, and not man. The district in which the tower stood was called Mesopotamia. The people who continued to live near the tower began to worship idols and to forget the Lord, instead of worshiping the Lord as they ought. They made images of wood or stone and kneeled down before them, worshiping them. Don't you think that was ignorant, children? Certainly, there were some people living who still feared the Lord. For instance, Shem, who warned the people, but they would not listen. More and more people began worshiping these images which they themselves had made. Perhaps in a short time, all people would forsake God. At this time, an old man lived there whose name was Terah. Terah had three sons, Haran, Nahor, and Abram. One of these young men, Haran, died shortly after he was married. He only had one child, and that child's name was Lot. Thus Terah was the grandfather of Lot, and Abram was the uncle of Lot. These names may be a little difficult for you, but you must try to remember them, because we shall hear more of them later. Abram, the youngest son of Terah, was married. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai. Abram was not completely happy, because Abram and Sarai had no children. For that reason, they were often sad. One day the Lord spoke to Abram. Let us read together what the Lord said. Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. Thus, upon the command of the Lord, Abram had to leave his country, the country where he had been born and where his family lived. He had to leave all his friends and go on a journey. Abram not only had to leave his fatherland, but also his relatives. His uncles and aunts were not allowed to go with him. Yea, even his brother, Nahor, and his closest relatives must be left behind. He must go alone. This was not so easy for Abram. Would you like to go to a strange country, and then all alone? No, you wouldn't, would you? But if your father and your mother, your brothers and your sisters went along, it wouldn't be so bad. Then you would think it would be nice. But Abram had to go alone and leave everyone behind. Only Lot went with him. Lot may have asked his uncle if he could go along because Lot no longer had a father, for he had died. Abram gave his consent, and together they went on their journey. Abram did not say, "Lord, I will not do this. This is not to my liking." No, Abram obeyed. Why did he obey? Abram obeyed through faith. But where must Abram go? That he didn't know. The Lord would show him the way. He went on a journey without knowing what his destination would be. His wife, Sarai, the shepherds and maidservants, and the cows and sheep which Abram had also went with him. But the Lord promised Abram something. Until now, Abram and Sarai had no children. But in God's time, they were to receive a child. Yes, the Lord would make of Abram a great nation. The Lord would bless Abram in everything. The Lord would make Abram rich. And later, the Lord Jesus would come forth from the children of Abram. O children, the Lord was so good to Abram. Abram begins his journey, and Lot goes with him. Abram was now 75 years old. He and Lot, with all their possessions, must travel on foot for days, even weeks, because at this time there were no trains or trucks. They must go straight across an extensive, empty, sand plain or desert. In our land, there are some deserts, but in some countries, there are none. This is the reason why we see all these people, these sheep and these cows in the desert. And where are they going? Abram does not know. Abram must continue to go further and to wait until the Lord would tell him where he must remain. Finally, they come to a river. This river is called the River Jordan. Abram crosses the river with everything he has and comes into the land of Canaan. You can look it up on the atlas to see where this is, or ask your father if he will point it out to you. That country lies very far from here, close to Egypt. This is not a desert. It is rich in pastures where the grass grows plentifully. Now the cows and sheep of Abram and Lot can get enough to eat again. There, in this strange country, the Lord appeared unto Abram for the second time and said, "This is the land which I shall give to your children." How glad Abram was that he didn't have to travel further. He built an altar as Cain and Abel had done and offered a sheep upon it. Before you move into a new house, children, you first will want to see this house. You will look in every room, in the kitchen, in the cellar, in the bedrooms, and in the attic. Abram also did this. He journeyed through the whole land. But, you will probably ask, was this land of Canaan altogether unoccupied? Didn't any people live there? Of course, people lived there. The Canaanites lived in the land of Canaan. The children of Canaan, whose father was Ham, the wicked son of Noah, who laughed his father to scorn when he was drunk, lived there. You still remember that, don't you? But this country was so large that there were extensive portions of land where nobody lived. There was still a place open for Abram. Abram did not live in a house of wood or stone, as you do, children, but Abram lived in a tent. When the cows and sheep of Abram and Lot had grazed in the fields for some time, so that all the grass was gone, and they would move from that pasture to another, where the grass was still plentiful. They would neatly roll up the tents in which they lived, and move to another place. The Lord blessed Abram. His cows and sheep continued to increase. After Abram had lived in this new fatherland for a short time, a famine came. No doubt it didn't rain for a long time. Nothing grew anymore. The Canaanites had planted wheat, but it was so dry that all the wheat died. The grass in the pastures also died, for no rain had fallen. Then the cows and sheep of Abram and Lot had nothing to eat. That was bad, very bad, because all their cattle would then die. For that reason, Abram left the land of Canaan for a short time. He went to Egypt so that the cows and sheep would not die from hunger. Enough grass was growing there. When Abram came into Egypt, he said to his wife Sarai, "You must not say, 'You are my wife,' but you must tell everybody that you are my sister." Sarai did this. In a way, this was true, for Sarai's father was Terah, and Abraham's father was Terah too. Abram and Sarai had the same father, but not the same mother. Thus, she was Abram's half-sister. But Sarai also should have said that she was married to Abram, and that she did not do. Then something happened which was terrible. Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, wanted to marry Sarai. That couldn't be done, for Sarai was already married. Pharaoh quietly took Sarai, the wife of Abram, away. When Abram came to his tent in the evening, Sarai was not to be found. Oh, Abram was grieved because of this. He asked the Lord if he would grant that Sarai might be returned to him. The Lord also granted this request. The king of Egypt became sick, and the Lord told Pharaoh that he was not allowed to marry Sarai, but that he must return her to Abram. The Lord said, "Pharaoh, Sarai is not only the sister of Abram, but she is the wife of Abram. You cannot marry her." Pharaoh listened to the voice of the Lord, and Abram had to come before him. "Abram," the king said, "you have lied to me, because Sarai is not only your sister, but also your wife. I will give Sarai back to you." When the king had taken Sarai away, he had given Abram cows and sheep. But he did not take these gifts away from Abram now. Wasn't that nice of the king? Abram was happy that he had his wife Sarai back again, and Sarai was also happy that she was again with her husband. Then Abram quickly returned to the land of Canaan. It had rained there, and the grass had again begun to grow. His sheep and cows could again eat as much as they wanted. But do you know what Abram did not forget? He did not forget to thank the Lord for this, because he again built an altar and offered a sheep upon it. He had also done this when he had first come into the land of Canaan. Haven't you sometimes forgotten to thank the Lord when you have been spared from danger or when you have been restored to health after being sick? Yet that is not good, because that is being unthankful. Abram was not unthankful, but he and his wife together bent their knees and thanked the Lord. They also asked if the Lord would always keep them in the future.